Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
Hey, welcome to another Parents Coaching Parents Network. I am your host, M.A. Scott. And folks, I'm telling you, I promise you another wonderful show. And this show is going to be a show that will, wow, hopefully it will open your eyes to some things that you may have thought about but haven't seriously taken into consideration. But if you're going to join in on this conversation, you can always join in at 516-453-9932. I'll say that number again, 516-453-9932. And you join in on this conversation. If you have something you want to bring to the table, or you want to slightly take the conversation in another direction, by all means, we welcome that as well. Because this show is all about you, parents. It's all about you. It's not about my experience or things that I have done and, you know, patting myself on the back because I've been able to have a son reach his own personal level of success and now currently playing in the NBA. It's not about that. It's about being able to provide information to the next generation of parents. And in doing so, I want to share not only my experience, but experience of others that I have came in contact with over the years to make sure that they do what? They get the best out of every situation. So, hey, you know I can't go into my show this morning, or this afternoon, should I say, but it's morning somewhere. This afternoon, without first having my man, Mr. Keith Wright, in his college experience. Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Yeah, that's Keith. Keith Wright, University of Harvard graduate. And Keith says he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. You know, hey, those are some words that we need to instill in our children and help our children understand it's okay to be at the top of your game. You know, they push and push and push and stride and grind and everything else to be at the top of their sports game. But what's wrong with being at the top of their academic game as well? What's wrong with that? You and I know the answer to that question, but we want to make sure that they know the answer to that question. And the answer to that question is nothing at all. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a positive thing. It's a plus. It's something that, hey, it turns the corners and opens up doors. But folks, this conversation today, hopefully it's going to give you another perspective on where are we as parents. Because I'm going to give you some insight on some recommendations that was recently put in place to the NCAA from an organization called the Knight Commission. Now, you've heard me talk about the Knight Commission several times here on the Parents Go to Parents Network, but I want to really go into this conversation where it draws you in. And as it draws you into this conversation, I want to hear your thoughts on it. So once again, if you want to join in on this conversation, you can always reach us at 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Hit option one. Hey, we'll know that you're ready to jump in on this conversation and bring you up on the air and see what you have to say. So like I said, we'll be talking about some recommendations from the Knight Commission. And these recommendations were recently put out by the Knight Commission to the NCAA. And these recommendations is to remove barriers to equity and success for our athletes, to remove barriers to equity and success for our athletes. Now, as I'm talking about removing these barriers, what are we really talking about? We're talking about things that are stifling our kids' growth. You know, our children are aspiring to do bigger and better things, but for whatever reason, they get to these institutions, and for what strange reason or another, somewhere along the line, that potential is smugged out. That potential is pushed to the back burner because only thing they have opportunity to focus on is playing that sport. Gotcha. Playing that sport is the highlight of their life. Playing that sport is the thing that they really and truly want to do. But is playing that sport the end-all, be-all? So what happens when the ball stops bouncing? What happens when, you know, that pass is no longer thrown? Or you're not able to dribble the ball up and down the court or the field? Whatever. What happens then? Where do our children go? You know, sad to say, out of the teams that participated in the NCAA tournament in 2020, the NCAA March Madness tournament, men's basketball tournament in 2020, 22% of the teams in the tournament had a 30% or greater gap. Now, hold on. Follow me. Check this out. Put these notes down. I'm going to run this back again. 22% of the teams in the tournament had a 30% or greater gap in graduation rate between your white athletes and your black athletes. That's a problem. That's a concern. That's something that we may want to address. Why is that so? 22%. You know, some people may say, hey, well, that ain't too bad. No, there should be no disparity. There should be no gaps. There's only 65 teams in the tournament. So if we're talking 50%, that's about 32 teams. Now, if we're talking, you know, about 20%, 22%, 25%. Now we're looking at, you know, roughly about 16 teams. So somewhere in there was a 30% gap in the graduation rate between white athletes and black athletes. That by itself has to stop. That by itself has to stop. And one of the recommendations that the Knight Commission also has put out there is to eliminate standardized testing. Eliminate standardized testing. And, you know, some of you may cringe on that. Some of you may not like that idea. Some of you may think that that's slightly lopsided or whatever. But the standardized testing, you know, there's some biases going on. There is some serious bias issues going on there with the standardized testing. Because first of all, the test is made up by, you know, some organization, and the folks that get, okay, you can't tell me that you got a college student, or you got, excuse me, you got a high school student that's averaging a 3.5 or higher GPA, African-American male, 3.5 or higher GPA. But due to the fact that he hasn't been exposed to the information that's placed on this standardized test, your ACT and your SAT, you know, he's done the studying and all that type stuff, but this wasn't a regular thing within his school system. But he's still been able to maintain a 3.5 or higher. So as a result, do you take that away from him because he's not able to score this phenomenal score on his SAT or his ACT? No, no, no. Let's look at, for that initial eligibility, let's look at doing away with the standardized test. For that initial eligibility, for that initial first-year eligibility, let's do away with the standardized test. And if the athlete can play, let's get him in school, let's get him some education, him or her some education. Let's not allow this test to derail the success and the potential of our children. You know, one thing that the NCAA has also put out, that the Knight Commission has also put out, is college football playoffs. Now, here's another recommendation that the Knight Commission has put out there based upon college football playoffs. Now, again, if you want to join in on this conversation, you can reach us at 516-453-9932. I'll give you one more time, 516-453-9932. And, hey, join the conversation. Let us know your thoughts on what I'm talking about here today. But here's another thing that the Knight Commission put out. College football playoffs. College football playoffs. At any given time, those college football playoffs, CFPs, generate $500 million annually. $500 million annually. Now, the Knight Commission has asked the folks that run the CFP to divert at least 1%. 1%. And to me, that's a small number. I would probably have said 5 to 10. But the Knight Commission has asked that the folks that run the CFP divert at least 1% of that revenue, of that annual revenue to equity. To equity within the college football ranks. Whether or not it's equity, doing a study on equity as far as bringing coaching staff in that looks like those players that's out there that's playing, hiring folks in the athletic department to be there to be supportive, whether or not is identifying other issues that I'm going to address here shortly, you know, identifying things like that. Okay, that 1%, folks, takes us to $5 million. Divert $5 million to equity in the college football ranks. Is that so hard? You're making $500 million annually. You're making $500 million annually. So when we start talking about equity, we start talking about diversity, we start talking about inclusion, why not use some of those funds to create programs that focus around diversity, that focus around inclusion, that focus around equity? Why not? You know, some of the other recommendations that the Knight Commission has came up with that ties right into what I was just saying and seeing what the CFP can do. You know, how about if these universities started internships? Well, some of you may say they have internships. Some of you may even say, you know, these students get a chance to do all these things. No. Let's talk about the two major revenue sports in the college landscape, football and basketball. Football and basketball. When was the last time that you knew of that one of those athletes was able to participate in a practicum, an internship? Huh? Help me. If I'm wrong, hey, by all means, I welcome you to call in and share some insight with me and my listening audience. 516-453-9932. I'm opening up the phone line. I'm giving you the floor. If you can tell me when a college athlete that's been involved in the major revenue sports has been able to participate in an internship. An internship. Or was able to study abroad. No, because they got to stay back at the campus and do what? Play that sport. When have they been able to do anything or place any major focus on their careers? So the first thing that the Knight Commission highlighted, and I got about seven things I want to share with you, is include internships, the ability to study abroad, and just do some career services. You know, all the other students are able to do these things. Why aren't our athletes able to do these things? And when I'm talking about our athletes, I'm talking about the major revenue sports. And the two major revenue sports, for the most part, you have athletes of color that dominate those two sports. And realistically, they're not getting a fair shot at being successful. So that needs to be revisited. That needs to be looked at again and again and again. Equity. You know, as you looked at the show page, you seen the reality. You seen equality. You seen equity. And you seen justice. And that tells the whole story right there. Currently, just asking for some equity. Athletes participating in major revenue sports be able to be an intern, or study abroad, or somebody support them with some career services. The next thing I want to highlight, number two from the Knight Commission. For the institution, and you know, it can come through the athletic department, but the institution needs to establish a network of mentors for these athletes. Once again, I'm talking about my young athletes of color. Establish a network of mentors for these athletes. Now, this network of mentors, and true, you know, we had things where athletes was involved with various folks over the years, and it got kind of crazy because we got into the situation of point shaving and all that years ago. Hopefully, society as a whole has gotten away from that. And we're doing even more sports betting today than has been ever done. Every time I turn on a sports talk show or channel or whatever, they got more commercials on sports betting than they do on what's going on the field or on the court or in the pool. Sports betting. Everything. So let's create a network, you know, institutions should be able to create a network of mentors for our athletes. Now, this network of mentors is somebody that they actually going to interact with. You know, a corporate CEO, corporate executive director, you know, somebody in the managerial staff in a profession that they're interested in, a chairman of a board, whatever, somebody that can show them how, whatever profession that they're interested in, show them how this whole thing unfolds and how and what they need to move towards. And maybe from time to time be there just to have a sounding board, somebody that they can relate to, somebody that they can communicate with. Now, these mentors should look like them. Don't just have a mentor out there and have a bunch of folks. The mentors should have their best interests at heart. And I know we're not going to get it every time, get it right every time as far as mentors looking like them, but hey, if we got an opportunity to go for it, go for it. And if someone can step in that doesn't exactly look like them, but understand or have a connection, once again, go for that as well. But these institutions need to establish a network of mentors for these athletes of color. Third, place more emphasis on their career path. You got them there in the institution. You got them there and they're making a whole lot of money for you. So why can't there be more emphasis placed on their career paths? You know, I shared a post just last week. And in that post, it highlighted the numbers for what an average athlete is worth in the college landscape. A collegiate athlete, a football player, he is worth $120,000, while a basketball player once again in the college landscape from the Division I perspective, $265,000. This was just reported by CNN. This ain't something that we're making up here on the Parents, Coaches, Parents Network. This is something that was reported by CNN. $120,000 for a college football player and $265,000 for a basketball player. So, with that being said, why isn't there a possibility? Why isn't there a possibility for these athletes to be placed on some type of career track to get them motivated towards their success? Along with placing them in a program that helps them with their career track, helping them understand that there are mental health services available to them. Mental health services available to them. You know, doing a survey. Haven't done one, but it would be interested if one was done. Finding out the numbers of how many athletes know where mental health services facilities or whomever, professionals, are located on their campus. Where are they? How many of them know? That's the question. So that is number three, highlighting a career path and mental health services on their various campuses. Number four talks about the Summer Bridge program, utilizing some of those $500 million that the CFP or the NCAA makes, utilizing some of those funds for a Summer Bridge program. In other words, having athletes come in over the summer and getting them situated and acclimated to the campus, as well as getting them involved in what's going on in campus other than just their sport. A Summer Bridge program is huge. My son did it over the years, just hung out up there on the campus, and they kept him involved, and that kept him focused on, again, staying on top of his game, not just his game sports related, but his game academically. What's wrong with that? That's something where, you know, some of the $500 million can be added, some of those funds could be added to creating a Summer Bridge program. Well, folks, I talked about four recommendations from the Knight Commission. Got a handful left. But I'm going to step away for a hot second and just let you gather your thoughts. And if you want to join in on the conversation when we come back, again, 516-453-9932. I hit you with that one more time. 516-453-9932. On that note, folks, hey, we'll be right back.
I need it.
Don't go anywhere. The Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott, will be back in just a few moments.
Mr. Scott, Coach Klein, just calling to check in with you. I'm on my way to Patterson School today. I'll see Mike again tomorrow.
Mr. Scott, how you doing? This is Jeff Battle again. We got disconnected. If there's any problems or whatever, Coach Muse is looking forward to showing you guys around. My cell number.
Mike, this is Skip Prosser from Wake Forest. It's about 7:40. I understand you went by campus.
Mr. Scott, it's Coach Fernandez here with the University of Miami. Hey, hope is well.
I just wanted to touch bases with you. I think your son was coming home this weekend and wanted me to give you a call.
Hey, there, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Pompey, New Mexico State University. Saw your son play during the summer with Lou Williams. If you can, give me a call.
Hey, Mr. Scott. This is Coach Bradley down at Clemson. If you had a chance, my cell is 864.
This message will be saved for...
Hey, Michael. George Johnson again with the NBDA. We are playing phone tag. If it's okay...
Mike Scott, Dan Williams, Philadelphia School District Sports Administration, Compliance, NCAA. You left...
Hey, Mike, this is John B. Lott, the head coach at West Virginia. Try to get in touch with you here, so... I want to talk with you a little bit about your son. I know he's at home.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Dave Lake of Qualen. It's about 6:15. Hope all is well. I talked to Coach Keats earlier today, and he said he had a conversation with you.
Next message.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Coach Keats, call me back with your fax.
Good evening, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Horn giving you a call back from thesaber.com. I hope all is going well. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Sorry about it. I was actually just...
Scott, this is Justin Young, editor of Rivals.com Basketball Recruiting. I just wanted to give you a call this morning. It's 9:45. I understand...
Mr. Scott, how are you? This is Dave Leto calling from Virginia. Hope all is well. Just trying to touch base.
This is Coach Jim. I have just gotten some disturbing news from some of the... coaches that has been involved with trying to convince.
Yes, Mr. Scott, this is Sidney Lowe from NC State University. Wanted to touch base with you, sir, and get an opportunity to speak with you at your convenience. Had the pleasure of watching Michael play the other day in the scrimmage.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Guys, athletes, scholarship mentors, help you and elevate parents, coaching parents, know the game.
Hey, we're back. This is M.A. Scott, the host of the Parents Coaching Parents Network. We're back on the air with you folks. If you want to call in and join in on this conversation, you can reach us at 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. We've been talking about some recommendations that the Knight Commission has put out there to the NCAA just to say, hey, you know, how are you going to remove these barriers? These barriers that affect equity and success of these athletes. How are you going to remove these barriers? We've placed some recommendations out here for you. How are you going to move forward, NCAA? So I'm giving it to you from the parents' perspective and just letting you know that there are some options that's out there. You know, I covered the first four recommendations that the Knight Commission put out there, including internships. Think about it. Athletes don't get a chance to be involved in an internship. They don't get a chance to study abroad. They don't get a chance to get into career services. If you're playing in a major revenue sports, you're exempt from those things. Or put it like this, you don't have time for it. Because we got practice, we got conditioning, we got games, we're traveling, we're doing all these things except helping you set up for your future. Then we went from there to talk about establishing a network of mentors for these athletes. That's vitally important. Vitally important. If these kids are going to pursue a career and have a successful career path coming from that institution, why not have a mentor, have a network of folks that they can reach out to, help them understand what networking is all about? And I ain't talking about walking around here, shaking hands, kissing babies, and passing out business cards either. or standing around in some social setting getting drunk. I'm talking about building relationships with folks that's already in the industry in which they're choosing to pursue. Come on now. Why are our kids getting so short in this area? Equity. I went on from there to talk about career. Are they on a career path? Is somebody helping them set up a solid career path? And when you talk about career paths or some type of career services, we have to ask, I have to ask the next question. How many of them know where mental health services is at on their campus? How many mental health professionals are part of that institution? And does the athletes know that they have access to them? This is real, folks. This is real. And I want to go on from there just to talk about funding of a summer bridge program. Funding of a summer bridge program. What do I mean by a summer bridge program? Summer bridge program is those athletes being on campus ahead of time, before their sport gets started, and understanding that there's so many other things that they can do on that campus prior to just being involved in their sports. So I'm going to go from there to number five. Encourage the athletes to engage in campus social groups. Campus social groups. You know, oftentimes, very few athletes actually get involved in campus social groups. You know, even some of the ones that has been involved and we have identified with as being involved over the years, and the one that stands out for me is Shaquille O'Neal. He pledged with the Greek fraternity. Now, was he able to do that during the season? That's the question. Was he able to do that during the season? I'd be willing to bet not. Somewhere along the line, I'd probably say that Shaq probably had an honorary initiation. Or if he went through and did a regular pledge, it probably was an altered version of it. But why can't athletes get involved in some of the social groups, some of the councils, some of the Greek fraternities, you know, things like the student union, leadership that's on the campus for the students? Why? Why can't they? Because oftentimes when they get involved in stuff like that, it takes them to the point of not being able to fulfill their athletic obligation. Again, if you want to join in on the call, you can reach us at 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Hey, we welcome you to this conversation. If you have something that you want to bring to the conversation, by all means, bring it up. Bring it up, because I think really and truly, hey, what we're talking about here impacts our children in a huge way. Number six, placing focus on those two major revenue sports, the two major revenue sports, which is football and basketball, placing focus on those two sports, why not create a financial literacy program? Folks, it looks like we have a guest here on the air, and somebody wants to chime in on this conversation. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Parents Coach Parents Network.
Good afternoon. I am James out of Cleveland. I actually work with high school and college parents, and it's good that you're actually bringing up the things that the Knight Commission has put forward. And I would say one of the biggest problems that I see in every level, whether it's NCAA or NAIA, is that parents of athletes – and athletes themselves don't understand that fundamentally they're in a business relationship. They think of it as an educational relationship. I'm going to school. And they miss the fact that really, in the grand scheme of things, coaches, not that they're bad people, but the way that athletics is set up is that you're a human resource. And in a business relationship, if you're a partner, the very minimum you can do is get something from your partnership. And so there's a fundamental lack of understanding. And they and parents oftentimes send their kids to college and they just say, well, the coaches are going to make sure that my kid gets what he or she needs. They have and coaches will say, we have academic advisors, we have all this, and we have this, and we have that. And families look at facilities, and they just fundamentally don't understand the nature of the relationship that they're entering into. And so they don't know that, okay, this is a business, so let me get the most from the business because the business is going to get the most from me. And so they don't to say, okay.
Excuse me, Ms. Cleveland. I don't know why you came in here undercover. Folks, we're talking to the legendary with no other than Sports Mom University herself, Mrs. Cleveland. Now, come on, introduce yourself the right way. You're up here on the Parents Coach of Parents Network. Don't come in here like you just a regular old listener. Let us know who you are and what you got going on. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I own an athletic consulting firm for sports moms and their families. And I help moms raise whole people, not just athletes. So we talk about
whole people.
All of these things. Yeah, we talk about identity. We talk about financial literacy. We talk about how do you prepare for college? How do you actually network? I tell my parents to and my athletes that I work with, most of my athletes are middle, high school, and college. And I say, hey, you got to collect people. People are coming to see you. If you don't make at least one friend before or after the game, you've done yourself a disservice because that friend has an occupation. And that's an opportunity for you to one day – when you want to grow up, you might want to do what they do and you know somebody. And so I work with moms, athletes, and coaches as well, just helping them understand how do you raise a whole athlete who walks away from the game on his or her own terms. So a lot of the things that you're talking about, we cover in either a class or in a one-on-one setting, just varies. But this is a very, like, totally needful, totally unnecessary conversation. What the Knight Commission, they found and what they actually put out into the public is extremely necessary. We as parents just aren't a part of the conversation, and I don't understand why. And a lot of it, I think, is that we trust coaches because they're in our living room, and we just think that they have the best interests of our kids at heart. And it's not that they don't. It's just that every coach is trying to stay gainfully employed and or get a promotion.
That's right.
So
that's
you have to,
right.
See
how much additional information we got out of this conversation, folks. Now she has identified herself. See how that went? Come on now. We love to have folks come in and just provide that insight, the things that you have been doing. As phenomenal and truly. We look forward to hearing more about.
I was going to say, something simple that I encourage every listener to do is, if your kid wants to play, you have to be able to answer two questions. Can I get somebody a check or can I get somebody a promotion? Because that's all coaches want to do. They want to get a coach has a husband or a wife. They got a mortgage, they got a car note, they got some insurance that they need to pay, they want some benefits, and what we don't
That's
understand
right.
is that, yes, our kids are going to school, but they are going to school so that people can actually get paid. The university president,
exactly.
He gets a bonus when your child does well and additional people show up, and alumni write checks because the basketball team is doing well. Like, that, it's not a game, and we just, as parents, we just are like, oh, well, they're just, my kid's just going to get a degree, but do you know what kind of degree? Is it meaningful? Are you assuming that they're going to do that for you?
Well, it is a game. We just haven't learned how to play it yet. we're still learning how to play. You know,
that's
exactly how I see it. You know, it is a game, but we are just learning the rules of this game. You know, we thought the game was consisted of the ball moving up and down the court or up and down the field or whatever it is. No. From a parent's perspective, the game is altogether different. Our athletes and our children handle the physical side of it. We got to learn how to tap in and be supportive of and be advocates for the intellectual side, the financial side, the emotional side, the mental side, all these other little pieces that come along with this game. Because as you said, at the end of the day, is your child going to help someone get a promotion or a check? And that's what it's all about. And if the answer to that question is yes, then, hey, we got to learn how to play this game. And we here at the Parents Coach and Parents Network, as well as Sports Mom University, which I'm going to let her finish off and say what she was saying, because I know she has some more great information to share. We're here to help you understand that. That next generation of parents, we're here to help you understand that and get the best out of every situation. And I'm going to pull back from there because I'm going to let you go ahead and finish that thought, and then I'm going to read off these last two recommendations that the Knight Commission had.
As parents, we have to be willing to grow. There's a reason that I work with moms first. It's because when I educate a mom, she goes back and she doesn't just educate her children. She begins to educate the people in her space. And so networks like this where you have frank conversations, it's important for parents to say, hey, I don't know. And maybe I'm the first generation. Maybe my kid is going to be the first generation of my family to go to college. Who can I talk to that will help me understand what he or she is going to go through? Is there a community college down the street that I can, you know, say, hey, I'd like to ask some questions? As parents, we really do. In order to support our kids, we have to be willing to learn and to grow. And when we are not willing to learn and grow, when we send our babies off to schools that may be across the country where they don't know anybody, and we just trust a group of people of school administrators to have our children's best interests at heart, we do ourselves a disservice. Because you're looking
exactly
at a coaching staff. Even if your coaching staff, like let's just take football, for example. Even if there's like 15, 20 coaches, there's still normally anywhere from 90 to 105 athletes. And they just can't be responsible for everybody's individual path. But you got one kid that's in college at that school at that one time, and you better be responsible for your child's individual path.
There you go. And I put it as simple as this. We must be our child's biggest advocate. In other words, you must be your child's very first sports agent, you know, in this whole landscape
Absolutely.
Of sports, in this sports industry, you know, not just in college recruiting, but overall, because it starts long before college recruiting. It starts at the recreational level, you know, where you have folks trying to steer your child over to this team or over to that team. No, they got to come through me. I'm dad. I make the say-so. That's my gas that's being burnt up every Saturday morning, driving him to and from, you know? So if you're
that
not talking to me,
good point.
And you having a sideline conversation with my 8-year-old, my 10-year-old, convincing him that he's going to come over here, and he's going to play with this kid and that kid, you having a conversation with the wrong person because you're about to have a no-show. Because if you haven't talked to me, you're talking to the wall. You might as well talk to a piece of concrete. Because at the end of the day, the conversation comes through me.
But it's good. It's very good for you to say that and for people to hear that. And if there are moms that are listening, this is an example of you have the right to. Oftentimes, I mean, let's just be honest. In the major revenue-generating sports, over 50% of those, we're talking football and basketball, over 50%
yes.
of the athletes in those two sports are black are black. And I have seen numbers that say anywhere from 50 to 70, just depends on whose numbers you're looking at, but they say anywhere from 50 to 70% of the athletes in the revenue-generating sports are from single-parent homes. And just being a mom, the athletic world is not always welcoming to women. And so this is where women can listen to the way that you are talking and say, hey, it is okay for me as a mom to do this same thing, because if I don't stick up for my child, no one else will. It's very interesting to me that a lot of times, and I work with a lot of women, they don't even feel like they have the power to advocate for their kids because they're like, well, I don't know sports. You don't got no sports. You just have to know your child. That's all you have to do. And everything else you can learn.
And see, that takes me right back around to the title of my book. You don't know what you don't know. You know,
absolutely.
The sports parents guy. But it boils down to, okay, you don't know. But there are resources out there. Contact, reach out to someone, groups like Sports Mom University. Reach out to Parents, Coach of Parents Network. Reach out to Parents and Athletes Connection. Reach out to Mothers of Athletes. Reach out to, there's dozens of organizations out there that can help you. The only thing you got to do is make the connection. And start with somebody that just graduated from your child's school and they went on to college and they're playing sports. Reach out to those parents.
And the
see if those parents can point you in the right direction.
Like, listen to what he said. Like, we want you to reach out. We want you to reach out to us. He wants you to reach out. All of the networks that we're setting up for parents, like, we're doing it up for a reason. Like, we know what you're going through. We want you to reach out to us and ask questions. Don't be intimidated. Don't feel like you can't, because you can. That's why we do what we do every day. And I say that on purpose
every
because
day.
I do with
you
a lot of...
You said that, right? Every day.
Yeah, every day. Like, the number of women that I deal with, and even athletes that I deal with that say, I don't know how to ask. I'm afraid to reach out. A closed mouth never gets fed. And if someone makes you feel bad for asking a question, they're not your people, and it's okay. Just keep it moving.
Yep,
but you
got to
ask because you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Let me finish off this last recommendation from the Knight Commission, and then we're going to prepare to wind down. I ain't realized time has flew by so fast. But the last recommendation from the Knight Commission that I had out of the seven was to encourage athletes to complete a cultural competency course. In other words, the institution should just simply say, hey, you know, let's talk about cultural competency. Let's talk about what do you understand and what you know about culture. How do you feel having that courageous conversation, with your teammates or with your coach or anybody on the campus? Or do you feel as though that there is some tension on the campus? And I know that there has been several athletes that have been on various campuses that they felt as though there has been some tension. And having that tension is not a good thing. You know, that's where they need to know where mental health services is at. So the seven things that I covered, and then we're going to bring our guests back up again. Seven things that I cover is internships. That started about number one, internships, study abroad, and career services. Athletes aren't afforded internships. Establishing a network of mentors. They need it. It's needed. African-American young men on campuses need a network of mentors. I'm not talking about just shaking hands, kissing babies, and passing out business cards either. Third, we covered career and mental health services. They know where these places are, where they can go and get some help, where they can get themselves set on a solid career path. Number four was funding of a summer bridge program. Summer bridge is huge. I can't say the value that it added to my son's college career, have an opportunity to go there over the summer and just get involved in what's going on campus, and just you know, just bringing some things to light for him that helped him through the season. Number five was athletes being involved in some of the groups that's on campus, so the social groups, such as your councils, your Greek fraternities and sororities, and your student union, any type of leadership group that's going on, because you already have the position. Now taking what you have as an athlete and amplifying that and becoming a voice in one of these leadership bodies on the campus. Number six is, hey, every reverend major revenue sport athlete should be automatically enrolled in a financial literacy course. That's not optional. That's a plus. That's something that has to happen. And I can see that being a huge piece coming about with this new conversation focused around this name, image, and likeness. But we'll go into that at a later date. Finally, number seven, encourage athletes to complete a cultural competency course. Folks, hey, those seven things right there, and Knight Commission had a whole lot more that they wanted to add, but those seven things right there was huge. But I want to go back here to our guest that popped up on the air and tried to hide in there in disguise, and let her tell us more about how we can connect with Sports Mom U and what else she has going on. And I'm going to open up the mic to you. Go ahead.
Well, they can find me on Instagram or Twitter. I am at sports, it's SPORTS, underscore mom, MOM, underscore you. I do have a private Facebook group for sports moms and their families, so they can find us, the Sports Mom University Community Group, on Facebook as well. And the next thing, it's funny that you should talk about name, image, and likeness, because this month of June, for my college families, I've been doing some free sessions to help them understand what name, image, and likeness is. So on Thursdays, we'll have our final session this Thursday coming up, because it's the last Thursday in the month, but we have talked about what it is, and also there are some red flags that we need to be prepared for as parents that I don't find anybody talking about. When you look at all of the multitude of businesses who have popped up around name, image, and likeness, and they're making plans for athletes and even the universities, the plans that they have made, there are some red flags that are that cultural competency is about to actually slam name, image, and likeness in the face, because there's a fundamental lack of understanding of the families that make up the bulk of the revenue-generating sports. There's some things that we need to be aware of. This is something that I talked to my mom's office.
Quick question. You said this Thursday. Is this something that's streaming live? Is this something that's on the air? How can folks get in on this conversation, or is this a private conversation with your group?
It's actually on Zoom, and I've been posting about it on my social media. So they can just shoot me a DM, and I will send them the link so that they can participate in the conversation because it is needful. It is very needful, especially for people who are from just – being honest, if your child is from a lower socioeconomic background and he or she has been independent, there's red flags in terms of taxes. Like you're gonna have a lot of problems in that regard.
So can you send that link and do we have your permission to post it on the Parents Go to Parents Network page on Facebook?
I will send it to you, and yes, you do have my permission, because I just want to have I want to make sure people understand what's happening and what they and some things that they really should be prepared for, just from a family perspective. And so that's something that I'm doing on Thursday, And the next conference that I'm hosting is actually going to be for soccer moms. I've been doing some virtual conferences. I call them High School Mom 101. July the 9th, 10th, and 11th, I'll be doing a three-day virtual conference for soccer moms in high school and middle school. It's around three questions. How do I make sure my child's academically eligible to get into college? How can I help my child through the recruiting process? And how do I know if my child is good enough to actually play in college? So they have an opportunity to learn a bunch of things, talk to some college soccer players, talk to some college soccer moms, just really expand their network of people who are at programs, just like you were talking about before. So love to have them. I really appreciate you for having me, just letting me chime in on the show. This is a really good topic. I've been following this. Thanks for just letting me chime in.
Oh, we appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day and joining us today, and know that you are welcome anytime to join us here on the Parents Club, the Parents Network, and anytime you see that post come up that we have a topic that you're interested in chiming in on, just let us know. And, hey, the floor is open. The floor is open.
Well, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you.
And I will – I'm always looking for people to come and speak to my moms. So just know.
Anytime.
I appreciate it. I totally, totally, totally appreciate it. You have a fabulous rest of your day.
Well, thank you. You too. Folks, hey, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. I'm M.H. Scott, the host of the Parents Club, the Parents Network. And, you know, once again, we've had that dynamic conversation, folks. We had that courageous conversation. We've had that conversation that makes you want to say, that conversation that says, man, I don't know what I don't know. But the sad part about that, and that's the title of my book, and I keep pushing that issue, is I don't know, you don't know what you don't know, the sports parents guy. But here's the part that always turns a corner and folks go in another direction. They have their title of their books or their thoughts is, you don't know what you don't know, but I think I know. And we can go into that in a whole new different direction at another point in time. But we've had a chance to have some great folks join us today. And, hey, this is one thing that we do here at the Parents Coach the Parents Network. So until our next show, join us next Sunday, 3 p.m. here on the Parents Coach the Parents Network. Hey, you have a great Father's Day. We out of here. Close us out, Keith.